Would you describe yourself as a patient person? How about in those times when you're waiting on God to work something out? In Psalms 27 through 29, we're challenged to patiently wait on the Lord to work on our behalf in His time. We're called to keep trusting Him and praying. We're also inspired to reach out to others, sharing with them God's faithfulness and the truth that He's in control of all things. This is the Wisdom Journey, and Stephen called this lesson, Waiting on God.
I'll never forget that moment years ago when my youngest daughter was around 4 years of age, and she was riding along with me in the truck, and the light turned yellow. I was able to give it the gas and scoot through the intersection, you know, just in time. I can still remember her looking over at me and with perfect innocence and sincerity asking me, "Daddy, does yellow mean speed up?" Well, at that moment, I was convicted. In fact, I wish my wife had never taught her the colors so soon in life. I had some explaining to do to my daughter. Well, the truth is, I don't like to wait. Do you? And I shouldn't consider yellow as a chance to speed up, but I do. I can imagine you're probably the same way, although I hope you're a better example for your kids than I was. But I got to tell you, a few things are more challenging to me than having to wait on God. How about you? One author challenged my thinking when he wrote, "How long we wait is not as important as what we're doing while we wait. Give us something to do while we wait, and waiting becomes bearable." You know, that's exactly what David has in mind as he writes here in Psalm chapter 27 now on the subject of waiting on God. The theme of this psalm is actually in the last verse, verse 14. "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." In other words, wait for the Lord, but don't just sit there and wait. David gives us some good things to do while we're waiting. First, he says, start remembering. Start reminding yourselves of the truths you already know. That's what David does here in verse 1 when he writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." In other words, I'm going to remind myself that God saved me, and the God who saved me is not going to abandon me. He is to this very day the source of my light and my salvation. As David reminds himself of who God is, now he's motivated to worship the Lord. He says here in verse 6, "I will sing and make melody to the Lord." In other words, it's dark all around me, but I'm going to sing to Him. He's my light and my salvation. Maybe that's why the Lord sometimes has us wait. Maybe it's to remind us of who He is and what He's done. You know, that has a way of infusing courage into our hearts as we're waiting for whatever He's going to do next, remembering what He's done and singing to Him in praise. Now, here's something else we can do. Don't just remind yourself of the truths you already know. Secondly, remain open to new truths you haven't yet learned. David writes here in verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord." See, David is saying, "Lord, I'm willing to sign up for some new course now in life." When you're waiting on God, let me tell you, God's essentially enrolling you in some new faith-building course. And you can't audit it. You got to do all the homework and take the tests. Are you willing? Are you willing to take a seat in that classroom God has assigned for you today? Well, David writes, "Teach me your way, O Lord." In other words, don't let me stay ignorant in my way of thinking, my way of living. Lord, teach me your way. Now, he writes further here in verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path." David isn't praying here, "Lord, lead me on an easy path." His prayer is, "Lead me on a level path." That is, lead me to a path that I can walk as you lead me. Now, in the next psalm, Psalm chapter 28, David is writing with a heart full of confidence and hope. In fact, he sings down here in verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped." David then prays for his own people here in verse 9. "Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." What a great example, by the way, of caring about other people, even when you've got a lot to be concerned about yourself. Kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul, who wrote that God comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. You see, hope and comfort are things God intends for you to constantly give away. Now, unless you're living in a bubble, your life is touching other people, isn't it? You've got other people in the traffic pattern of your life. It's a spouse, it might be children, it might be neighbors, friends, coworkers, and they've been impacted by some challenge in their lives. Well, share what you've learned. Share what you learned back there in that classroom where the Lord took you through that curriculum. He taught you his ways. He gave your heart courage. What'd you learn? Well, don't keep what you've learned to yourself. This is one time you can actually let somebody copy your answers on a test. That test you had in life. Go ahead and share all your answers with other people. Now, Psalm 29 takes us into a scene where David is evidently witnessing a storm rising up over the Mediterranean Sea and then moving eastward and then over the mountains and then on south to the wilderness. So he builds that into this beautiful poem. You know, on a clear day in Israel, you can stand on a mountain, as I have, and you can see for miles around. So David is evidently perched up here somewhere, and he's watching this storm, and he writes in verse 3, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters." Now, he's referring to thunder crashing out there over the Mediterranean Sea. Let me remind you, the pagan nations around him believed that Baal was the god of thunder. Baal was the god who controlled the storms. And no, David says right here, no, that's the Creator's voice. He's the one thundering away. Essentially, what he means is God is the one in control of every storm in life. David even writes here in verse 5, "The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon." In other words, this is a storm that is toppling some of those massive trees in Lebanon. Let me tell you, these cedar trees there grew 100 feet tall, 6 feet in diameter. Yet the power of God, David writes, can treat those trees as if they were toothpicks in a jar. Now, as this storm moves off into the wilderness, David watches the skies begin to pour down rain, and he's reminded that God's in control of the greatest flood of water to ever hit planet Earth. He writes here in verse 10, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever." Now, I need to tell you that this word for flood here is rare. The only other time in all of the Old Testament this word appears in the text is in the Genesis account of the flood that covered the earth. So David is saying that if the Lord was in control of that massive global storm, guess what? He's powerful enough to manage the storm that has entered your life today. You know, maybe right now you're experiencing a downpour. For some of you, it might be a quick shower and the sun's going to come out fairly soon. But for others, maybe for some of you listening right now, it's been raining for days. Maybe the water's rising. There's no sign of it letting up. It's just one thunder crash after another. Well, make sure, beloved, that none of this is wasted time in your life. Be teachable. trust as God navigates your little ark through that flood of water that's entered your life. I appreciate the fact that David has weathered plenty of storms himself. In fact, he writes here as a veteran storm survivor. And David tells us that courage and hope are going to grow when we remind ourselves of what we already know is true about God. And then let's learn all over again if need be. Let's go back into that classroom and learn that God is never in a hurry. God doesn't run yellow lights. He doesn't need to. That's because he's always on time. And beloved, maybe that's the reminder you need today. God will be right on time for you. Well, until our next wisdom journey, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Stephen Davey called this lesson Waiting on God as he continues through the Bible on the wisdom journey. It may seem a ways off, but I want you to think about the last few Christmas seasons. Then let me ask you, do you struggle to keep your focus on Jesus during the Christmas season? Does the busyness of the holidays distract you from the true meaning of what you celebrate? We have a resource to help you lead your family in an intentional, Christ-honoring activity. It's called the Advent Event. This is a fun, easy, and enriching family activity to help focus attention on the birth of Jesus while discovering the big picture of God's plan throughout the Bible. Kids of all ages will enjoy the crafts, the stories, the sounds, and the motions that make up the Advent event. And best of all, it fits easily into your busy family schedule. Again, Christmas might seem like it's a long ways away, but it's important that you sign up for this resource in November. That's because it begins December 1. There's a new family activity for each day in December. If you're a parent, a grandparent, you're going to want to be part of the Advent event. And if not, please tell someone else about it. All the information you need is at wisdomonline.org/Advent. Again, that's wisdomonline.org/Advent. And then join us back here next time on the Wisdom Journey.